All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Daddy long neck gang, and shout out to Real Life Crew.
Hey, you're one of 12 listeners of the Real Life Podcast.
Yeah, you know what? To define that better, I think the key there is...
Daryl Cat.
I just lost my train of thought.
Welcome to episode 141 of Nation Real Life here on the Nation Network, and we have a fantastic guest, a fantastic Mary Browns pop-in. Joining us on the line is newly retired defenseman, former Oilers defenseman, Eric Greiba. Eric, thanks for your time today. I want to start with the retirement announcement. When did you kind of come to that decision, and why did you feel like now was the right time to hang up the skates?
Yeah, it was probably about a week into training camp in Calgary there. And I just, my body was starting to kind of felt give out of me, and I wasn't, I just didn't think I was going to be able to play at the level I wanted to. And, I wasn't enjoying going to the rink as much as I'd used to. So I decided to, for everyone involved, to step away and, take on the next challenges in my life.
So as an Oilers fan, Eric, it wasn't because the idea of playing in Calgary was so horrible that you decided to hang up your skates forever.
Yeah, well, I mean, I put that jersey on for the first practice, and I was like, maybe this isn't for me.
Eric, I want to go back through your career a little bit, starting with kind of your minor hockey days. You're a Saskatchewan guy. That's where you played your minor hockey. At what point when you were younger did you kind of sit there and have the realization, like, man, I think the NHL is like a real goal here?
The NHL was always a goal. I never thought it was going to happen, to tell you the truth. I knew I was talented, but I was never the best by any means. I was never a superstar growing up. It was, my dreams are like, at first I was like, if I could play in the WHL, that'd be great. But then I had planned, then I, had goals to play in the NCAA. So, and then that, and then I was like, if I can get a scholarship, that would be unbelievable. And then, I just kept kind of grinding my way through the different levels and kept, luckily I played on a lot of good winning teams and just kept kind of advancing from level to level until I finally made it to the NHL.
Was there a moment whether you're at Boston University or somewhere else where you thought, yes, the NHL is a goal, but this is actually going to happen for me?
Yeah, I think that probably happened, I'd say maybe my last 2 years at Boston University. I was really starting to, come into my own as a player, find my game, find the role that I knew I'd be able to play you know, at the next level. So, you know, I had good coaches that kind of helped me realize, you know, what's going to make me successful, you know, in the collegiate ranks, but also, you know, moving on into the next levels. You know, I'd coach, you know, like Jack Parker and David Quinn, they're the Quinn of the Rangers. So, I mean, they were really instrumental in, you know, basically that, hey, you know, you need to play this style of game and, you know, those are going to be your best chance. You know, that's going to be the best chance to make it to the National League.
So you eventually did make it to the NHL. You made your debut in 2012. Do you remember the specifics of that debut, and were there any moments that like really stood out to you?
I mean, the whole thing was a whirlwind. I mean, I know it was Dash 1 and my second shift. so that I remember that pretty clearly. But no, it was you know, a cool moment. My mom was able to fly into town because it was a last minute kind of deal. So she made it, and you know, my dad and my friends and family at home were able to watch it on the TV, and it was, you know, it was obviously a dream come true. As cliche it is, you know, as it is, every kid dreams of playing in the NHL, and I got to do it, you know, in Toronto, you know, which was pretty cool as well.
Did you have like a welcome to the NHL moment, something kind of like I'm facing off against player X, where you kind of looked down the ice and you thought, oh shit, we're actually doing this. I'm in the big dance now.
Yeah, I think it was my second or third game. We were playing in Jersey, and there's like Marty Brodeur at the red line stretching, you know, and you, and I'm like, holy, like that was like, that was a moment. Wow. This just got like real.
We're a podcast, so we're allowed to get a little bit edgy. Not that I'm expecting you to say anything out of turn here, but what about off the ice? Like as a rookie, was there one moment where like away from the rink, you were kind of just like, okay, like this is the NHL. Like, was there a welcome to the NHL moment off the ice for you?
Well, I had a couple good ones. I mean, just the way you're treated, you know, right off the bat. I mean, it's, you know, instead of taking buses and, you know, you're on plane, private planes, and there's wine on the plane and beer, and you know, I'm like, holy shit, like this is unbelievable. And then, no, I actually had a good one. I think I was 13 games in, and I had a our coach at the time, Paul McLean, called me in, and I had a couple, you know, couple tough games and a couple minuses, and he comes and he sits me down, and he's like, Greg, so how have you been playing lately? I'm like, I don't know, last couple of games haven't been great. He's like, I agree with that. And he's like, yeah, I just want to let you know something. I'm like, what? He's like, you've played 13 games, not 1300. Start acting like it. Now get out of my office.
Oh, wow.
And then the whole team got a hold of, they found out about it, and they started calling me Mr. 1300. So I took abuse for that for about a year.
When you get feedback like the coach from the coach, what does that do for you as a player? Does it push you forward in terms of having to work harder? Did you talk to your teammates about what you could do to play better? How do you handle that?
Yeah, I mean, you're relying on, you know, I mean, for me personally, it was always, you know, a motivator. Okay, like, well, I have to be better. So that's, you know, watching my teammates, talking to coaches, doing film. I mean, always, especially like my younger years, I did a ton of film, you know, going over my game with like the D coach, you know, all the different situations, you know, what, and then, you know, little things after practice, like, you know, little kind of plays, you know, those little pops in the middle, those little plays that maybe go unnoticed to the average fan, but make a huge deal when you're in the heat of the game.
Moving forward a little bit with your career here in the summer of 2015, you were eventually traded to Edmonton. Obviously exciting for us here at Oilers Nation. We all remember that. As a Prairie guy, what do you remember about being traded here to Edmonton? And were you excited to kind of return to Western Canada?
Yeah, I was really excited to be closer to home. Yeah, I was super excited. You know, I also remember at that time, I got traded on draft day, and that was the day Connor, you know, you guys got Connor.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I mean, it's a pretty big day in Oilers history. So, you know, to know going in, you know, I'm going to be playing with a player of that caliber, you know, and obviously the new GM and, you know, knew everything. So it was very, very exciting to go into a team that, you know, was making a serious push to rebuild.
You mentioned being acquired on the same day as Connor McDavid arrived. Do you have like a Connor McDavid moment, like your kind of first experience against him, whether it was just meeting him in the room, going up against him in practice, anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's like I try to explain him. It's like he has the cheat code to hockey. You know, if you're playing Xbox, he just has the cheat code.
Yeah, he's got a game genie.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's just not fair. Like, what? You can't do that. But yeah, and it's, you know, sometimes in practice, you know, especially the first few times, you know, you'd be like, okay, like, well, maybe he's not like that fast. But then after a while, I realized he was just slowing down for us to make us defensive and not feel bad about ourselves. You know, because then he just didn't want to hurt our confidence or make us feel bad or anything like that. So he's kind of slowing it down a little bit just to make sure, you know, still pushing us, but like really wasn't trying to embarrass anybody out there. And you could tell that good.
Obviously, as an Oiler, you knew about the history of the team and how it had been a long stretch without the playoffs here. What was it like to be a member of the team that got the Oilers back into the playoffs and just your general vibe in the city at that time?
Yeah, I mean, I knew it's been, you know, such a long period of, you know, playoff dry years. And, you know, that was a pretty special year, a pretty special team, you know, with, oh, you know, Talbs having the year that he had and, you know, making it to the playoffs and the way we made it in the playoffs. And, yeah, it was really special to be a part of it. And the city was obviously electric. Everything was, you know, everyone was behind the team. Everyone was buzzing about it. And you could feel it. It was fun to be a part of that whole situation and just feel that energy through the team, through the fans, through the city. It was a really special year.
I remember this moment when the game you guys finally clinched against the LA Kings. You scored that game. I think it was the winning goal as well. When you look back at your career, obviously you were a defensive defenseman, but is there one big goal in your career that like really stands out to you?
I think that has to be it. You know, a playoff clinching goal for the Oilers. That was, I never thought I'd be able to say I could put that one on my resume, but that would definitely be the biggest goal of my career.
Your first NHL goal came on March 23rd, 2013 against the Tampa Bay Lightning. What did you do with the puck?
I jumped up in the play. And there's a kind of like a 3-on-2 and Kyle Turris fed me a puck in the high slot and I one-timed it trying to go high. It went on the ice 5-hole and I scored.
Did you get to keep the puck afterward? Are you displaying the puck somewhere at Greiba Manor?
Yeah, there's a puck somewhere here in a plaque. I mean, I don't really show too much of that stuff off. I like more having deer heads and turkey fans on the wall. But that's in here, and that was definitely a memorable goal too. But I still think that playoff clinching goal was more memorable.
Sticking with your time in Edmonton, do you have a memory just from being an Oiler or being in the city that kind of stands out to you in your almost 3 years here?
Oh, it's tough to pick out one. I mean, my wife and I, Kate, we like truly love living in Edmonton. Getting to know all our different neighbors and having such great teammates and staff. There's really tough to actually pick one moment because we truly did enjoy living there. We still have a lot of friends on the team and a lot of, you know, friends from the old neighbors and other people around the city. So it's, I really couldn't pick one just because it was just such an overall enjoyable experience for both of us.
I think we would be remiss if we didn't ask you about grilling with Greiba and your passion for barbecue. I'm a single guy myself, Eric. I'm looking for maybe some help. What would be a go-to dish that I could make to impress a lady?
Ooh, Jesus, a single guy. Yeah. You know what? I mean, if you're not that talented on the grill, I'd do a split chicken. I'd just take a full chicken. I'd cut the back out of it, flatten it. Season it, put it on your barbecue for, I don't know, until it hits your 165 degree internal temperature, and you're going to have a nice crispy skin and a nice, I don't know, easy show-off dish.
I hope all
go ahead.
I can see myself getting more dates already. Go ahead, Tyler.
I was going to say, I hope our 13 exactly. listeners are writing that one down. anyone who follows you on Instagram, Twitter, social media, I think they kind of know the answer to this question, but I want to ask it anyways. What do you kind of have planned here for life after hockey?
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm trying to hunt as much as physically possible and spend time with my family. So definitely my passion is, you know, a lot of my passions are in the outdoors, and I plan on doing as much as I can in the outdoor industry and you know, and spending time in the outdoors.
The hunting, the outdoors and all of that, was that something that you were just kind of raised on and grew up on, or did it become a passion later in life?
No, I was raised as an outdoorsman. You know, remember all the years hunting and fishing with dad, and it was just such a huge part of our lives. And, you know, my dad's a good cook as well, so it kind of came naturally to me to, you know, hunt and fish and cook what we kill. So it's a cool kind of circle of life thing that, you know, we take pride in doing. And, you know, it definitely, my main passion.
Mixing your two passions together, your time with the Oilers and your love of hunting, which of your teammates, let's just throw a scenario there, if you're putting them in the bush by themselves, which of your former Oilers teammates would be able to survive and make it out of a weekend alive?
Oh, I mean, you got to take Hendo. Matt Hendricks would definitely be, he'd be the guy. We'd go hunting together, and he's outdoorsy. He loves the woods, and he loves the fish. So Hendo would be definitely the one to survive out of all of them.
Any guys that have no chance at all?
Darnell Nurse. I'm going to go out there and say, hey, Nurse's not going to make it.
No, he's just not an outdoor guy. You're just not a thing. Or you don't trust his abilities in the bush.
I don't know if I'd trust his bushcraft. I mean, if, you know, to show me a good time in Toronto, I'll trust Nursey. But in the bush, I don't think so.
So now you're, like you said, you're going to focus on doing the outdoor stuff and hunting as much as physically possible. Can you ever at any point envision a return to the hockey world?
I'm not sure. I think at this point I'm it's not in my foreseeable future, but, you know, that being said, things can change and opportunities can arise, but at the moment I'm just going to focus on my family and spending time with them and spending as much time in the outdoors as possible.
We're recording this podcast right now for OilersNation.com, but we also have HockeyFights.com in our network as well. I'm looking at your fight card on HockeyFights, and you fought some big, big boys. I'm just curious what you think, as somebody who's done the job, where is hockey's fighting spot in hockey? Is there still a place for it?
Yeah, 100%. You can't get rid of fighting. You know, it's a way for us to police ourselves, you know, and to hold players accountable to act the right way. And you can't get rid of fighting. And you know what? Fighting's already kind of taking itself out of the game a little bit. Well, actually, you know, quite a bit. But you can't take it out because, you know, guys need to know that if there are repercussions to certain actions out there. So, and if you take that fighting away, I think you're going to be getting into, you know, a lot more dirty situations, and then that's just not good for the game.
Looking through your fight card, is there one Tilly that really, really stands out to you? Whether it's like you remember it because it was in a big moment, or you remember just looking at the guy you're scrapping and being like, oh, I can't believe I'm fighting this guy.
Yeah, I mean, fighting Ryan Reeves wasn't exactly a pleasant situation. The guy's pretty nailed. So, he was definitely one that I wasn't looking forward to fighting and didn't do too well in it either. So, that was one where, you know, it's cool to be able to say you fought a guy like that, but it wasn't the most enjoyable experience.
Well, we'll go maybe a couple more minutes with you here, Eric. You played a handful of years with the Binghamton Senators in the American League. A couple more games towards the end of your career in the AHL as well, but do you have any like stories that you just look at and go, man, that is like the cliche minor sports story from your time in Binghamton?
There's a few of them. I remember the one game we were in Syracuse, and we had big Frankie Luxard on our team, big lefty, and then they had John Morasty, and obviously two super, super heavyweights. And we're in the first period, and they fight, and Frankie on our team there, he re-hurt his hand that he broke earlier in the year. And Morasty wanted to fight him again, like in the second period or third period or something. And, you know, Frankie just kept, you know, saying, no, 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 no. And then a couple shifts later, Frankie like kind of tripped him in the neutral zone or something. And so then that was it. So then they squared off there, and neither one of them was like going into like engage. And finally, like Morasty wanted to fight, but you could tell Frankie kept backing up because of his hands. He really didn't want to fight. But so Morasty started taking off his shoulder pads and like whipping them off Frankie's head. And I'm just sitting there on the bench, and I'm like, what is going on right now? I'm like, where am I? This is unbelievable. But no, that was definitely the most kind of American League, minor league moment that I can remember.
And I'm hoping you can break a tie for us here, Eric. Over the past few weeks on this very podcast, a couple of Tyler and I's co-hosts have been arguing about a fishing contest and whether or not chumming the waters for a volume fishing contest would consist of would count as cheating. Where do you stand on chumming the waters when you're fishing?
That is cheating. You can't do that.
There we have it. This is a tiebreaker. Eric Greiba defined cheating.
And I think that's a perfect spot to end this off, Eric. We really appreciate your time today, man. You were a fan favorite when you were in Edmonton, so I know a lot of fans are going to look forward to hearing from you. So thanks for your time and enjoy retirement.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Close to 300 games in the NHL, a lot of them with the Edmonton Oilers, some playoff games with the Oilers, a really good American Hockey League career as well. And now he can put Nation Real Life guest on his resume as well. That was Eric Greiba with a Mary Brown's Poppin, brought to you by Mary Brown's and their bite-sized morsels of 100% breast meat chicken coated in Mary's seasoning and served hot, crispy, and so yummy. And if you want something that was hot and crispy, how about his answer on Chumgate? We're going to step aside here because the rest of the boys are waiting to get into the studio and we will get their take on Greiba's take on Chumgate.
Have you got holes to dig, earth to pack, and roads to build? Then you need to call Japa Machinery Group. Does your equipment need a service? You can't fix stupid, but here at Japa Machinery Group, we can fix everything else. With a full range of parts to keep your equipment running smoothly, Japa Machinery Group is a family-operated and Alberta-grown business. Here to help build a bigger and better Western Canada. Give us a call or visit us at japamachinery.com. Japa Machinery Group. Join the family.
All right, welcome back. Episode 141 of Nation Real Life. That was our conversation with Eric Greiba with me and Bagged Milk. And now we got the whole crew here. Chalmers is here. Jay is here. Wanye is here. And do we have takes on Eric Greiba? I think he's the one who has settled and ended the Chumgate debate.
It was nice to bring, let alone, first off, a celebrity, judgment to this, but someone who actually knows something about fish and wildlife.
It was a lot like what happened today. I heard a witness getting led. I heard a person get told basically what they should think and what they should say. I could have thought of three other ways to form that question where he wouldn't have said exactly what he said. He said exactly what you wanted him to say. So you got your answer.
To be super fair, you and I weren't involved in the interview just so we could get a pure response. And I'm just going to requote what former Oilers defenseman Eric Greiba, now wildlife expert and grilling expert, said, chumming is cheating.
Well, if he's a wildlife expert and that's his reaction to it, we had the guy who said the fateful words, we chum the waters, which he's claimed at hockey that he did not say to you.
Now he's going back. He said it in front of you and you know it.
Right. No, we didn't. Anyways, just listen.
Let's reopen it. Now the guy who says that even though we have like 14 people that witnessed and said, the guy who made the chumming comment
is now saying,
oh, I didn't even say chumming. Like we've got like, we could bring in 12 people into this
wildlife.
Room.
He called not. Fish and wildlife and he had.
Recently?
Yeah. And he said, would you? Because chumming's illegal. Saying, it's an illegal action. Yeah, and he said, would you arrest me for doing this? He's like, no, it's not even a thing.
Fabrication, fake news. He's telling us that he did that for effect, which I respect because I am a user of hyperbole, but that is bullshit to the nth degree.
You don't think he called in?
No. Yeah, he called and reported himself for chumming.
Well, that seems like self-snitching, which is the worst kind of snitching.
Yeah, Takeshi69.
Who claims he did this?
Josh.
Yeah, well, exactly.
He definitely did it. He's got time. He's got a switchboard.
No.
He's got his team.
If he did it, because he knows how serious we are, he would have videoed it.
Look, Greiba told me he was making me a medium rare steak, it would probably come out medium. I don't trust anything he says now.
Wow.
Ouch.
Grilling master.
Ouch. Wow. What about if we got somebody in the legal profession to come and weigh in on this? And so when you're trying to lead the witness and shit, they can replay the audio and figure out whether or not they would have objected. And had they objected, if they were
I would have objected if I was there.
For sure.
Bag Milk, let him on. You know you did.
I did an excellent interview with Eric Greiba, and I got to the point of the question. I got to the point of the story we're all trying to get at. Chumming is cheating.
Yeah, my only knock with your interview with him is I think you called it a fishing competition.
Yeah, that's
and
not it.
And you should have called it a fishing derby, mm-hmm. but, you know, I'm not here to poke holes.
Derbies are just competitions,
you got though. You got the question across. You got the answer that the people wanted. Chumming is cheating. Like, case closed.
I thought it was interesting hearing him talk about Connor. I like that, you know, the distance between Eric Greiba and Connor McDavid is light years, and he'll be the first to tell you. Like, he's one of the top 200 players in the world, Greiba, right?
Well,
to play in the
NBA. Yeah, I mean, you don't get into...
Do you be the top 700 at any given moment when he's playing?
Okay, top 700 in the world. So tens of thousands of people playing. Greiba is in the top 700. Even he is quick to tell you, like, the difference between 699 at the top 700 and number one is...
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting how he said Connor would legitimately slow himself down in practice to make sure that nobody gets dummied too bad.
What a gentleman.
Well, you don't want to fuck with their mentality. You don't want to just shred your defense and make them think that they've got holes all over the place and then have to go play a game.
I liked when he talked a little bit about that playoff run in 16-17, talked about how the biggest goal of his career was, I mean, like, I think we kind of forget that. He scored two big goals that year. They were both against LA, and the other one, that was the winning goal in the clinching game against the LA Kings.
Oh, yeah.
So it's cool to, like, hear him say, like, yeah, that's probably the biggest goal of my career for, like, a shutdown defenseman to have, like, a big goal like that on his resume.
That was such a good game too. I remember, like, you're going there and you're nervous because you're like, if we win this, we clinch.
And they put the logo up on the big board after saying playoffs.
God. Oh, I stayed in an empty stadium and stared at the Jumbotron for like 30 minutes just trying to, like, assess if this was real life or not.
I went to the game with my dad, and we got another beer after the game because we were so celebratory. And then he walked off, and I, like, went back out after when there was, like, kind of no one left in the rink. And I just, like, looked at the board. I was like, oh, my God, it's happening. One of the best moments of my life.
Are you going to have that same feeling when it happens in 2020?
2020.
Well, there we go. Like, I think that's a really natural segue into probably our big topic today, which is the season openers tomorrow.
Woo! 2020 playoffs, Chalmers.
So our dear friend and voice of the JAPA ads, Nupsy Brown, Josh Brown, new father. Congrats.
Yeah,
like to that. Welcome Clover to this world.
Clover. Beauty. Clover Brown.
Clover Brown.
Sounds cool. Like a good band name.
She is going to be getting a McDavid onesie ASAP Rocky.
So Clover Brown story. One of her first in a podcast, I can guarantee. I have a Lucic baby jersey for her that I bought when Lucic was still an Oiler, but I planned a joke. At the time, I was going to be like, I get you a Milan Lucic jersey to remind you of value and hard work and perseverance. Then, like, as you know, when they got dealt, I was thinking I was going to write a card being like, Milan Lucic was actually a great disappointment to the Oilers, but you're a baby in Australia and really won't care. Enjoy.
That's fair.
I don't think he'd care. Did they have babies at the same time or something?
They're like, so Josh has a twin brother, Sam, and I think they had babies like 4 months apart.
Yeah, they're looking in fighting shape still. So, they're gonna get that dad weight on pretty soon here.
So back to Nups.
Oh, you don't want it? Oh, yeah.
And this season, through his, I've been trying to scouring the internet for like Oilers to make the playoffs odds, and they're really tough to find. And then when you do find them, they're really shitty. But Nups, our good friend, found on his betting app in Australia, because obviously they're a little bit delayed and not paying too much attention to hockey.
They're just getting the criminal 2017 season.
Charles. They have the Oilers odds to make the playoffs. So, like, if you bet them to make the playoffs, they will pay you 3.7 to 1.
Easy money.
That I'm just like, wow.
So what did you put on?
$400.
Attaboy. That's really good.
You hit that shit out of the park. I
got $400 on that. I made a stupid straight up bet with cheese, $100, and then I made a bet with Dom Lucicision or whatever, the analytics betting guru. Yeah. He came out of the gates offering me 2.5 to 1, and I said, no, man. You're so sure about your math. I think your math is bullshit. I'll take 1.5.
So let's go 1 month into the future here.
Wait, you took worse odds?
I took worse odds. I'm like, yeah, because I'm calling him out thinking he's fucking bullshit.
Nice.
Even though I should make him pay the stupid tax of higher odds, I'm taking it easy on him.
In a month from now, if they don't start the season hot, which is probably
not happening, Chalmers. They're starting the season hot, I heard.
Yeah, red fucking hot.
Red hot.
Well, let's say it goes to 4-0 or 4-2.
Doubling down.
Would you?
Well, depends how severe of a comeback they have to make, but yeah.
This is what's going to happen.
I'm all in.
I'm going to tell you how this year is going to go.
Okay.
They're going to come out of the gate hot, and everyone's going to get super excited. The reverse of after the year they made the playoffs.
So October is going to be hot.
Hot. out of the gate. Mm-hmm. People are going to be scoring. James Neal's going to have like 5 goals in October. We're going to be losing our shit.
My boy Jericho.
We're going to cool off a little bit. Go with maybe 500 hockey for like 10 games. All the naysayers back off the bandwagon. Bam! Blistering hot again until Christmas. And Connor's going to go into the Christmas break on fire. And they'll be talking about like shattering his point totals because he's so hot by the Christmas break.
We are, I'm telling you right now, we are the 2017-2018 Vegas Golden Knights.
In but the we're sense not of an expansion franchise.
Sort yeah, of yeah, we are. But, sort of.
Well, we may as well be. In terms of like us against us against the world, how when Vegas entered the league, we all just all dismissed. Like, there's no fucking chance. They're fake news. And then they just started hot and didn't stop. We're just gonna surprise. I'm not saying we're winning the division, but we're gonna come out what we would consider hot, because anything above 500 to me is hot. So and just maintain.
The real deal, James Neal, was on that Vegas team. He's going to bring that swag.
With them teeth.
Absolutely. $1 million smile.
Geez. Boy, they're bright. Have you seen those teeth, Chalmers?
He's basically DaBaby, but without the grill. Do you know this?
Here's some other.
We need a fourth microphone in a bad way.
We need a splitter. I'm not. You know what? I'm not coming again until we have a fifth mic. I'm done. This is called a. Oh, what would you like to talk? Every single time we bring up Tom Gate, he fucking doesn't want to talk about it, so he rolls his eyes. You want to talk about all Oilers all the time on this bad boy?
No, I got a little bit more. Yeah, but I think
they have other podcasts for that. No. I do too. I got lots of stuff. I'd write the Ken Holland interview or article today in the journal.
Yeah.
I did
terrible website, by the way.
Reading Oilers Nation.
Oh, good.
Yeah, was it? Did you have
there
it all on there?
There was an even better article on Oilers Nation.
Do we have it
far
all on there?
More credible publication.
Listen.
We have everything on there.
I have friends who send things. Mm-hmm. I look at them.
Well,
if you sent me the article, I would look at it.
We publish it on a variety of platforms.
I don't actively look out for stuff.
Well, we need new friends.
It? Yeah.
Okay, right. So I read this awesome article on what he did after on Oilers Nation.
Nice. I don't go there.
But I'm being accountable. I think he's
more of a journal
actually,
guy.
Yeah.
The articles made me kind of excited and not like where you guys are. I'm starting to see what you're seeing. Talking about how he's had some depth, some older depth. You know, I feel like we might actually find one of these guys where I've always looked at other teams and been like, who the fuck is a Donskoy? Like, what are these guys? I know Donskoy was a high draft pick, but like just a guy that came from nowhere and they made good. I feel like we might have one of those this year because I don't know these guys. I hope they're good.
We have two.
Bag Milk, you know that
who? Jericho? Nygaard? Which ones?
Both.
You know that gif where the guy like plugs his nostrils and squeezes really hard and all his blackheads pop?
Oh, God.
It's nice.
That's what they did this summer. I feel like they squeezed really hard on both their nostrils and a whole bunch of little blackheads just shot out of the lineup.
It was the Purge, Oilers edition.
Not including Sam Gagne, who should still be an Oiler, and that is some bullshit. So, everybody else, though, blackheads.
On my heavily followed social media Twitter account, The Squire Yegg, check me out. It's very entertaining if I tweet. I saw the Oilers put out a tweet from quoting Larson saying that the room's very positive right now and they want to carry that into the season. And I replied to that tweet saying, the Luch effect.
Wow.
He is gone.
Yeah.
Therefore, we can smile again.
I've never, though, to be fair to Larson, heard an athlete in preseason or training camp or anything be like, yeah, I don't think this looks good. I don't know. I don't know if we have it this year.
But maybe you can tell you've been hearing a lot of this. I don't think you would hear as much as we do now if it wasn't different.
So goes the season. It's the opposite of preseason. So I like the preseason because we're always awesome. We're racking up them wins. Ty Ratty scoring left and right. Going into the season with a lot of momentum. They do the flippy-flop on you, Chalmers. They flip it.
Mm.
Well, this year they didn't light the preseason on fire. And
that's
there was
always
no
a good
bullshit
sign.
Oiler, not Ty Ratty's bullshit, getting 14 points where you're like, well, he'll have to keep that up in the normal season. None of that's happening.
Well, they use the preseason for what you're supposed to use it for, not to get easy wins and get everyone excited. It's to like put, you know, try your team out and see what you got and make assessments and try to actually form the best roster you can.
Did you guys use your tickets to go to preseason games? You went to everyone?
Not everyone, but I went to most of them.
Yeah?
Yeah, I love preseason hockey.
Yeah, that's good. I heard there's still home opener tickets available for people.
Oh, really?
If you want to go tomorrow.
Well, there's always tickets if you head to our friends at Vivid Seats.
Sing!
Great friends of Vivid Seats.
They are good.
They are the ones that, because of them, I got great deals to go to the Dog Pound in Cleveland, and now we're going to watch bought our seats for them to go to the Buffalo Bills game, and now you can get Oilers game day
tickets. End of November, and you know what? Not going to be as cold as I thought in Buffalo at the end of November.
I fucking hope it's cold.
Dude, you know what? I looked in it's like -8 is like an average temperature there for low. It's like usually around 3 degrees.
I hope it's a blizzard. Well, I want to say, yeah, that's fine because you can have a bare hand and a beer in your hand. I think it'll be okay.
Nothing ever touched the Heritage Classic. Once you've been there and that cold, nothing scares you.
See, JR has it right. Like he wants to go to these cold weather climates because he dresses up.
Yeah.
And it's always easier to put more clothes on.
He's a Nordic man. You're not scared of an outdoor sporting event.
Fucking right. Just have a sauna after.
Shit. I'm thinking I might dress up this year, JR.
Wow.
I looked at some stuff.
Hopefully we're building some culture amongst our crew. So
it's way more fun.
In our fantasy football crew, we go to a new NFL destination every year. So we do this like extremely elaborate voting situation where we vote on the week that we can go. And then from there, we have a very small voting group.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have to go, like, there's parameters to be able to be in the voting group or not.
I think we chirped Jerry Larry when we told everybody on the podcast that he fucked up the vote. So.
Yeah, and then from there, we pick the destination. And so we always try to see if we can game it to go to specific places, and there's, you know, different factions within the group to try to go to different areas. Well, this year, me and the Buffalo crew, we won thanks to Jerry Larry.
Even though it's not my number one choice, I'm excited to go. I'm looking forward to just after seeing on the Sunday morning they showed the grass lot. This is like the world's craziest tailgate.
Oh, yeah.
People are jumping through tables.
You were pissed, though, if I remember.
Yeah.
You were mad when we recorded a couple months ago.
It wasn't that I was mad. Yeah, I was a little disappointed at the how it happened. It was more of how. Like one of my friends quoted today, we could have fun in a shoebox. It doesn't really matter, I don't think, where we go. We went to, you know, Kansas City and had probably the best weekend of our lives.
Yeah.
Then we went to Cleveland and these guys went back again because it was so good. Anyways, it's a fun trip. Well, and
I want to take you about to the dressing up part. So normally what happened on our trips is if you're the last in our fantasy league, you'd have to dress up on the trip.
For the game.
As a penalty. And okay. It's like, and me and my cohort, because I tag team my fantasy leagues because I'm not as in-depth in analysis because I just don't want to put in the effort. I'd rather just chirp all my friends.
Mm-hmm. He's the Chris Chalmers of this podcast when it comes to hockey knowledge.
Yeah, so we've always been dressing up regardless and then having the loser dress up. And everyone's now seeing it's actually a good thing to dress up for the game because it is an event and you get more out of it because you put a lot into it. And so now Chalmers wants to join and I've,
dude,
buddy, with open arms, join the mafia,
so,
man.
I've done sort of a breakdown of, you know, the return on investment for this whole thing. When I go there, I want to be part of the crowd. So I buy whatever gear I can buy, right?
Always, get like always. A sweater, first a jersey, rule of a sporting
a toque,
event.
Depending on where you are, you know, a hat, scarves, just to get some flair, right? Some pieces of flair.
Yeah.
And so, man, you spend a lot of money at the stadium buying that stuff. Well, if I could buy some shit here, right, like online, have it ready to go and go there, I'm flared right out, like a quarter of the price. And, you know, you can get some sweet shit online, some old retro stuff.
Exactly. And you think it out and then you have an arts and crafts night with your buddy, have a few beers, put together your outfits. It just adds more. It's like a nice little lead up to the actual event.
And the
shittiest thing about all of it is like you go and you tailgate and you're just like having so much fun. It's actually the football game. Like, yeah, you're having fun at the game, but it was like everything leading up to it, like the arts and crafts, the getting dressed up, the going to tailgating dressed up and like, you're establishing like a brethren amongst the fans and getting invited into their private tailgates because you went all in.
I think we should put on socials the pictures of your last three costumes because, like, to say that they dress up is like an understatement. They commission somebody from the town to come and paint their faces the morning of the game. Huh. They meet them at like a coffee shop outside of our hotel.
How do you find these people?
You just look, man. You can't find something you're not looking for. You know, the internet's is a powerful tool.
You're not abusing Tinder, are you? Because it's not for that type of dumb shit.
These are professional
face painters. You'll see from the face painting in New Orleans, which is like one of the 10, like it was amazing. The Arizona one was good. You've done it in three places now that you've got your face painted. Cleveland, Arizona.
We didn't the first year in Cleveland because we thought there was going to be a face painter at the stadium, and we made that. It was a terrible
assumption.
Yeah, we fixed that this year, though.
All right, well.
We're always prepared. We're getting better.
Football season sucked. Your M-Chuck's in third place in our fantasy league. Me and Jay are in 10th and 11th.
Yeah, we suck.
Oh, my God, we suck.
I could have told you guys from the start I was going to be good. I knew I was, so not surprised.
Just because I wanted to tell everybody, I wanted to let people, you know, you've done 4 weeks of good work, people, and I want you to know it. Ian is in first. Dan, Nation Dan is in second. Your M Chuck's in third. The guy that got it all started, Jordan, he's in fourth. And then we got our favorite, Brad Stepanko, who was one of the first faces I saw when I walked into the Elton John concert on Saturday, which really? Is fucking seeing this guy everywhere now. We're like becoming best friends.
He's a man about town.
Yeah, man. And then Ryan, it goes Ryan, six, Jesse, seven, Rick from Nation Rick. What do you guys call
yeah,
him?
Yeah,
Nation
sure,
Rick.
Yeah,
yeah fucking Rick. Rick. Our boy Rick. He's in eighth. Then John is in ninth. And then me, Jay, and poor old Dave in last place. So that's how the Fantasy League's going so far. It's been... It's been a lot of fun to get my ass kicked.
I've been having fun.
I lost my fantasy matchup in one league by 0.12 points because Juju Smith-Schuster couldn't get more than 3 points. Terrible.
I'm sorry, what's his name?
Juju Smith-Schuster.
Mm-hmm. Great, great guy.
I'm sorry, what's his name?
He is Juju. He is a graduate of like Snoop's football program, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so he's legit.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the 20 on that the Twins playing for the Seahawks, and one guy's got one hand.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Griffins.
The Griffins, yeah.
That was a hell of a story.
Yeah. 60 minutes, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, 60 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
His brother insisted that the Seahawks draft him, and they're like, okay, we're gonna. And then whammy.
Wow.
Yeah, imagine one of the Sedins was missing a hand.
Guy with no hand was defensive player in the year in NCAA football, in the SEC, I think.
It's crazy. And they were in a Gillette commercial.
Yeah.
Very cool. That's a big time.
They have a good story.
Getting some of that Gillette money.
There's no better stories out there than straight up like making it stories in the NFL. If you just watch like Sunday Countdown or Monday Countdown or like even Sunday Night Football, they always have like a profile on a player and it's always so good. So positive as to where these people like maybe came from or whatever. Who's the one that's Keyshawn Johnson's nephew?
Mike Thomas.
Mike Thomas, the guy from New Orleans, this guy.
And he's a good egg too.
Yeah, all that guy does is keep his mouth shut, work hard. He's one of the best receivers in the league.
Extremely charitable.
Extremely charitable. Yeah. Is you know, just
boring. I want them to do something interesting, like drop a rap album. Or
well, then just watch what Antonio Brown's doing right now.
Did you hear Dame Lillard and Shaq are in a rap beef?
Dame Lillard?
Yeah, Damian Lillard from the Trailblazers, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Him and Shaq are dropping diss tracks.
Interesting. That's not boy. Fake.
Why do they always go to rap?
If you want excitement, man, become a fan of the NBA. The NBA puts every other sports league in North America to fucking shame. It's so good. So
the drama?
Yeah, just like the drama, the player personalities, the player movements, the trades. No league comes even close to it.
I think that's a great segue to show how tone-deaf the NHL is. By their announcement yesterday of signing Green Day to some 2-year, I don't know what the fuck you want to call it, to use them to be like the fucking music ambassador for the NHL. And their music's going to power like the opening to NBC, NHL on NBC.
Do you guys watch Jay and Dan at SportsCenter at night?
Here and there.
Sometimes. Last night was when they broke the news of it. Like they did a story on it. They couldn't stop laughing. And they did a segment after with bands that they turned down. And one was like O-Town.
Yes.
And the reason they turned it down was O-Town couldn't get out of work. Another one was Crazy Town. And they were like, the reason they turned it down was because their song was called Hockey Fly, but it was really just Butterfly. And they didn't like it anyways.
Like Crazy Smash Town Mouth seems like a perfect candidate for this.
You know what they should have done, Jay?
Thank you.
They should bring that song back. That's not tone deaf. That's like reaching back into your past and bringing something back.
No, Cotton Eye Joe, I think, would also be incredibly tone deaf, but so is Green Day.
No, but we got to. We'll bring Cotton Eye Joe into the niche of the NHL that is Oilers Nation.
I don't think Green Day. Maybe it's because like they're available.
Well, tip of the cap to Green Day's agent. Sure. I'm sure that wasn't a cheap deal for the NHL.
I'm sure they got. And a fucking
you know
bag.
What, like. Like,
what do you think they would get for that?
I don't even want to guess, Millions. Oh, millions. It's got to be a handful of
millions. Millions, millions.
So maybe it's like, okay, we need a band that can do 16 appearances in the next 8 months. And most bands are like, sorry, we're on tour. And Green Day's like, we're not on tour. We could do it.
Oh, God. Yeah. And now we'll drop a new album as a result of this.
And the guy from Third Eye Blind's like, we could do it. And Gary Bettman's like, I don't know. You're pretty risque for the NHL. Green Day, on the other hand.
It's just so like, if you want to make the league cool and like establish like some kind of like culture or address your audience, like Green Day talks to like
maybe talks to their audience.
Talks to me.
Well, that's a shame. You're not going to appeal to a younger audience with Green Day.
Well, the rappers have Drake. Well, we have Green Day.
Like you thinking like a better play would have been like a Post Malone type.
Sure.
And I don't even know if that would have been the right angle.
He's signing up with Crocs. I mean, he'd sign up with anybody now. Post Malone?
I don't think he signs up with anybody.
Those Crocs
he
are
probably
pretty sweet.
Cost a shitload of money.
You know who made a lot of money off Crocs? Fun fact?
Who?
A lot of money off Crocs. Peter Forsberg.
Really?
He is richer from Crocs than he is from the NHL.
Are you sure?
Yes.
How do you know
Shut
this?
The fuck
Buddy,
up.
Fuck, check it out. I'm just dropping facts, boys.
I always like a fact that's ended with, check it out, man. Like,
check it out. Fun fact.
Research it yourself.
That's the confidence of a man who knows he's right.
Exactly. It's just, cool guys don't look at explosions, so I'm walking away.
Wow, yeah. Okay, so Post Malone. Like, I don't know. Let's talk about bands. Like, when you're coming, when you think about bands that would help and not make the NHL seem so tone deaf right now, who would you want to see? Think of a band that's hot right now.
Like Imagine Dragons.
Five seconds to summer. They're honestly not that bad.
You love Jared Leto, don't you?
Is he in that band?
Oh, it's 5 Seconds of Mars.
Don't do bands. Hockey and hip-hop, there's like a linkage there. They're always talking about being icy.
Yeah.
There's rappers who will reference they have so much Cameron. Ice on, you think they're skating.
Rick Ross.
Cameron even uses Winnipeg in one of his.
Little
I
Wayne.
Would go, ice like I think Winnipeg. There's a tie into the culture of hip-hop that you could capitalize on being icy and shit like that, that like rock doesn't bring to the table.
Peter Forsberg has a company called Fors Pro, and they own the rights to distribute Crocs in Sweden. Last year, they needed to sell 38,000 pairs of the comfy plastic shoes to break even financially. However, in half a year in Sweden, they sold 700,000 pairs at $90 each.
In what year?
This article is from 10 years ago. So he has been moving units in Sweden for a decade now.
I love those stories.
Crocs like, rich.
Did you know that Peter Forsberg, that guy who made all that money, actually did this other thing that's not related to his normal thing, and that thing went better than the first thing? It's like Shaq is an early investor in Google.
Yeah.
And the story is he's like in a hotel lobby, and there's like people in suits at another table. He was like, hey, what's going on over there? They're like, we're starting a company. He's like, well, I have money. And that's how he invested in Google.
And he made a bunch of money off Ring video doorbell.
Oh, Nest or no? Oh,
yeah. Ring.
There's different companies now. Okay. But
well, yeah. Well, now he's Nest. Involved in it. Like Shaq is like probably the quietest billionaire there is.
He's got like 175 movie theaters, or
and
some
he
shit.
Still works as TV analyst.
You gotta love Shaq. He's such a character. And he's still just he doesn't let the money like change who he is. He's still like this big little kid.
Yeah, he never spent any money he made in the NBA.
I love those stories.
He lived on his endorsements.
That's like Gronk, too. Gronk didn't touch a cent of his NFL money. He only spent his endorsements. I think Marshawn Lynch did that, too.
That monster Gronk money.
Yeah.
And those cruises you used to do in the offseason.
Drew Brees owns a bunch of fast food outlets, and he's up to like 190, like Jimmy John's or something.
Oh, the sandwich place.
Yeah, he bought like 3 in New Orleans, and now he owns like 190 of them.
Jimmy John's just got bought by Arby's.
Oh, Bag Milk, your take on that is...
We've got a serious...
We got a real problem.
They're on the extinction list in Canada, and they need to reach out to us, because if there's one thing Bag Milk and I can do, is we can fucking resurrect Arby's. I fucking guarantee it.
We have a passion for the roast beef sandwich. Oh,
I could
and
go
and you guys don't even want that much money from them or any, right? You just want to do it for the love of Arby's.
Listen.
And just start whoring them out. Don't get paid.
No. Well, hey, we're running a company. We have to defend our other brands that we promote and respect and enjoy. So we have to, but yeah, I do love Arby's.
It all started when new guy Nick dropped a bombshell that the one at Southgate is now closed.
And the one on 156 is closed.
Well, it's now demolished.
We're losing Arby's at a rate that is unacceptable to me.
The one in St. Albert just got really nicely renovated.
Oh, see, oh, okay. See, St. Albert's keeping Arby's alive.
That's our boy,
that's
right?
Good.
I know that St. Albert was one of his.
Oh, okay, cool.
But you know what? I know that there's also a passion for Arby's because anytime I make a stupid meme that features Arby's, it crushes. People love it.
What blows my mind about Arby's is that everyone kind of secretly likes it, who's not a vegetarian, obviously. And the funny thing is everyone always says like, yeah, I just never think about it. And they're like their campaign for years was I'm thinking Arby's. And no one was ever thinking it, but they wish they were. How fucked up is that?
I mean, that's a real mind fuck there. I wasn't really listening. I'm sorry.
Charles, how are you not listening?
Because like, I looked it up. Drew Brees actually owns 69 Dunkin' Donuts. I was so fucking wrong. It was sick.
190
Jimmy John's to 69. Nice. Dunkin' Donuts. The St. Albert Arby's is the best Arby's around, though, I have to say.
The best Arby's. That's like the best hockey player in Kuwait cares. It's of no significance in the global picture.
Anyways, yeah. Well,
government.
Government name.
Sorry, government name. I also burp too. Bag milk. Please pepper them.
We can't stop, won't stop.
So your hard pitch to Bag Milk was saying his government name, burping in his face, and then patting him on the shoulder and saying, get me Arby's.
Because I really believe we can do it.
Listen, the curly fries are like a mullet. To look at them, you know they're ready to party. But when you eat them, it's all business.
Interesting.
People forget about that angle.
Interesting. Horsey sauce.
Delicious.
Delicious.
Fantastic.
Delicious. Arby's is fine.
Yeah, well,
I think I just don't like them.
The market doesn't agree, but we're here to fix that.
People are assholes.
Activate us. Weaponize us, Arby's. We're ready. Can I take a hard turn on our podcast topic?
Oh, God, towards sport?
Jeez, yeah, you want to turn it to Arby's to maybe Oilers hockey? That'd be bullshit.
Nice.
Your rum chuck knows us too well.
We got 10 minutes around there left in the pod, so let's crush some BB talk.
Can I start?
10 minutes is arbitrary.
Chalmers.
So I watched it on a slight tape delay, about 10 minutes and 15 minutes. And when I got to the end of the episode, I had my first real feeling of what it feels like to want to go immediately to Twitter and like yell
lose
at people.
Your shit about
and you did.
My shit. And I did. And then I quickly took a deep fucking breath, took a drink of my drink, and deleted all of the retweets and the things that I was doing, because I realized that's never a good way to go forward for a person like me who just really... Anyways, I was so mad at the end of that show that I just wanted to talk to somebody, and like people in our group hadn't watched it yet. So I was going private to people.
Yeah, Charles, like,
you messaged me.
Have you seen it yet? I was just like, have you fucking seen this yet? Like,
I just was starting when you messaged me.
Like, I understand that it was super boring as a season goes. I understand that they had to create stuff, and I understand what world we live in these days. And saying all of that, I still don't think it's right to try and... God, how do I word this? Try and encapsulate the season and the things that somebody did wrong by basically doing bad shit to him in a way that where he gets bombarded, and before he even gets out of the thing, his face goes immediately red. He's confronted with questions. He's looking around. He comes out after he wins, and the first, you can tell he's emotionless. He can't even think that he just won, and the first thing he does is he goes to Jackson, and when they hug, you see him say, you can see his mouth move, and he says, what's happening? And Jackson's like, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. Then they stand up there on the front. He's still stone-faced. He only smiles once when she says, here's your money. Then the parents come up. Did you hear it on the mic? Did you hear what his...
Am I a racist?
Am I a racist? That's the first fucking question he has to his mom.
After not seeing her for 150 minutes.
Now, that's just like... I've read everything now up to the live feeds, right? And things can be a big misunderstanding. And I can't say that... I wasn't in the house. I didn't watch the live feeds.
Oh, you weren't in the house?
I'm going... No, but I'm just saying, like, how would you all know
Milk, you want to write that down? Chalmers was not in the BB21 house.
What's a better way for me to preface that then? I wasn't in their lives 24/7. I wasn't watching live feeds.
No, you weren't in the house. I had a job. I just tried to make people laugh because they were probably...
If Wanya didn't do
fishing,
that, we wouldn't have a podcast.
There we go.
No, I understand.
Go on.
But the fact is like, I really don't know, but in the one segment where they're saying that that this is where the comment all derives from, when you listen to it, it doesn't seem to be true. And it seems to be like, I don't know, just a whole ado about, you know, basically a whole like character slam on this guy for no apparent reason.
I've never in my
everybody
life,
if you're on camera for 24/7, you are going to say something that's going to piss people off in this climate.
I've never seen them like break the fourth wall, if you will, where they're like out of the house and immediately attacking them with like, this is what people think you did.
Yeah,
I've never seen that in any other Big Brother.
Yeah,
and especially at the end of Big Brother, people come out, yes, there's drama and shit. When the winner is announced, everyone's like, yay, confetti, $500,000. This year was not like...
It is not okay to be racist on there. It is not okay to be misogynistic. It is not okay to be a bully.
No.
But in the three times where they said that this is what this person did, in all three of them, I can safely say, in my opinion, he wasn't being any of those people. I don't think he was being racist. I don't think he said the racist word. I don't think he is a racist. When he made the camp, the BB comeback or the camp counselor decisions. I mean, you can't get in a guy's mind at that point.
No, but he just told you why he did it. And it actually makes sense.
Right. When it says that they were bullying Nicole because they didn't let him in the room.
Okay.
That's happened 20 seasons in a row.
Come on, man.
They're
having an alliance meeting.
And she's not in the fucking alliance.
But regardless of who she is. I get that. No, I get that. So I'm kind of on the, like, it's, they kind of confronted her and then kind of like went away and then had that like closed door meeting and like boxed her out. So there was like some lead up to that moment. Bullying might be aggressive, but it was a situation where they're extremely rude to her. Cause like they went down, called her out cause they listened to all of Nick's bullshit. And then they did confront her and were mean about fueled by someone's lies.
Yeah.
And then immediately went to have a meeting and like boxed her out. So like, bullying might be aggressive, but I'm saying, like, I felt bad for Nicole.
If that's legitimately bullying, then society as a whole has the number one issue in society is bullying because every single person is doing that outside of this room.
And you're
in
locking
every waking
people
life.
In a house surrounded by television cameras waiting for drama. And then when there's drama, you're disgusted by it. But now it's like starting to drag the game itself down because I guarantee you people next year going into it are going to be like, when I leave here, it's the Spanish Inquisition and I'm going to have to answer for everything I just did in complete isolation within 20 seconds of walking out.
Yeah.
Now I'm in front of a big ass camera crew and then I got a full studio audience and I got to answer for my shit.
Oh, like, yeah. It was not done right.
I think 5 years ago, he walks out of that house with a big smile on his face and none of this is even talked about.
Of course. And it was funny when they're grilling David about why he was upset. And then he even said at the end, like, yeah, but then I watched everything and it's not what I thought. And I'm like, well, then why the fuck did we even confront him on that specific thing? But I do want to ask you some questions about Mickey. Do you think Mickey's a bully?
Yeah.
Exactly. I do too.
Yes.
Hey, can I ask you a question? Has every single person in this room been a bully at one point in their life? Right. And so this guy's 24 years old, something like that?
21.
21 years old. He's a 21-year-old guy.
I'm not on a social justice mission. I'm just saying.
I know.
Is like Mickey does can be mean to women. He's proven that.
Yeah.
He's proven that.
He can be mean to men.
He can be, yeah, and
maybe
he's
just mean.
And exactly, he's just a bull. So he goes in like that whole like yeah, it's good gameplay, but he brought it with such like force.
Yeah.
But he was able to like the guy played the game that he needed to play to win. So I have to respect that. But yeah, like he's very aggressive. At some points, where like you're like, geez, this guy is not a good dude.
I think it's kind of funny that all this is happening, but in the. All I could think about as this was going on was the segment with Dr. Will, where if he was playing the game he played to win Big Brother 2, he would be one of the biggest villains on that show's history.
I need to see that season still.
I just don't get as offended by shit as people seem to
get. I don't
either. Like, you know what? People have tried to bully me in their life, and guess how that went for them? Poorly. And that's how you learn to stick up for yourself, right? People try and bully you. You're like, no, this ain't fucking happening. That's how you learn to stand up for yourself. If you're constantly going around, and like this isn't everybody, but some people are just constantly around, like shrilly offended by every single thing. That's not how fucking life works, man.
Right. But why can't we just like, why can't we?
He's a bully.
Differentiate between the fact that
sentencing him to death is not an option.
Oh yeah.
So in that environment, yes, can he yell at women? Yeah, he can. But why can't we differentiate that between him and his relationship with Nicole? The whole thing, she was a woman. He never yelled at her once.
Yeah,
why can't he just dislike stupid people who do shit to him?
I agree.
That pisses him off.
I agree.
As opposed to whether or not that's a woman or a man. It's just, that's a fucking person right there that did something I don't like, and I'm going to be mean to them because I'm pissed off and this is my human nature. It doesn't matter that this person's a woman or a man. Like, and I think that's, I just don't get it.
I don't.
And if he is actually a misogynist, it would have come out in full force, like in other ways. And it didn't. When the live feeds, the only things that they could bring up were at the very beginning when he talked down to a couple women.
Right? But he had some dickhead moments. Okay, yeah. Well, that ain't the end of the world.
So I guess maybe, yeah, like Mickey's a dick. We can all agree with that.
Yeah, I was going to say my take on Mickey's just an asshole.
Yeah, but you know what?
There's millions of them.
I'll always, I have respect for him winning the game because he did what it had to take. He came out, he knew like with the whole Holly on the block and it's Cliff and Nicole that can decide their fate. He came in and he turned on the rage to scare them into voting his way. But like Evil Dick was like that. Evil Dick was yelling at everyone.
I wonder what the long-term impact on society is going to be for like the witch hunt that currently exists for everything at all times in 2019.
Like I wonder if the pendulum's going to swing.
Of course it will. Human nature, like you said, Chalmers, right? I saw an ad the other day for a school. Like I was playing video pool on my phone. Thank you. And video ad pops up. I can't remember what school district it was from. It was in the state somewhere. But it was like showing like an ad for the school district. And it shows like a kid walking and getting bullied. And then the teacher coming over and being like, rah, rah, rah. And the bullies being like, ugh. And they're like, this is how we get down in school district 57 or whatever it was. I'm like, part of going to school is learning how to stick up for yourself. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
And learning how to get along with other kids.
Totally.
Yes, if kids cross the line, there's teachers and principals to be the law of the land.
Yeah.
But I just wonder, like, what's going to be the unintended consequence of, like, how passive-aggressively weird are people going to get?
I think we're seeing it. Like, I literally think we're seeing it. I just think outrage culture is predicated because you don't have the time. Nobody's been given the opportunity to actually, like, have to get a thick skin to them, right? Like, I've been bullied, right? Got me a thick skin. I learned how to be funny. I learned how to be quick.
Yeah.
And I learned how to give it back if they ever gave it to me.
Yeah.
Did I use it for bullying? Well, I don't know. I don't remember. It was just a way. It was like a survival technique, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you'd received it. You gave some. You know, I didn't stand up getting up every day going, I can't wait to go pick on some kid today.
Well, and you're not offended down to your fucking toenails. You're not offended.
As a person with a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old in grade 1 and grade 3, nothing. Every day when they come home and I read their demeanor, if they're not happy, my initial reaction is, what happened at school today? Did somebody do something to you? Did somebody bully you, right? And you want to protect them. And I have to find myself like taking a step back and being like, you've got to learn to if this happened, and I'm going to try to give you the tools, you know, to toughen up, to just like, to be able to disarm somebody like that from being able to have that power over you, right? Mm-hmm. Where instead of just being like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, like, let's go make this person feel like shit. You're not arming them with the fucking equipment that it's going to take to get through life. And when you get a job and your boss is telling you that you did a shitty job at something, you're not going to know how to deal with it.
Register a complaint. Yeah, you're going to be like,
oh, I got to go register. No, you did a shitty fucking job.
Exactly.
We need people who can do good jobs.
So at the same time that brands and like people are in the cancel culture, right, where you did something and now you're canceled. Remember the guy who put the sign up for the Venmo for the Bush Light beer or whatever it was?
Yeah.
So he's like, my beer supply is running low. Venmo me
just
money.
A joke.
No.
No, it was a joke. But
real
it,
Venmo.
Yeah, no, it was a real thing.
Money starts pouring in. $2 million. He's giving it all to a children's hospital. Right? Very nice. The beer company, whoever it was, because there's like, they just like desperately want to get involved with good stories. They're like, oh, wicked. We're going to give you a lifetime supply of beer. I think it was lifetime. Maybe it was a year. And put your face on a can because you're a legend. So they like try to get involved with something and co-opt it and go way past and be so extra. Then they go through his tweets and find two tweets.
No, a reporter did.
Yeah.
A reporter did.
16, he's like 24 now. Offside tweets, sure. Then it's like, you fucking dick. And the like whole the thing backlash collapses. Of hate. And he's giving all the money to the children's hospital. The beer company's like, we're not giving you a beer can.
We can't be involved with this guy. It's awful.
So you're like, I held a sign up. And then society's pendulum swung really far this way. And I raised $2 million. And they were going to put my face on a beer. And then it swung all the way back. And now I live in the mountains.
Our two favorite things in society for people to do right now. Build somebody up. And then just take them down as hard as possible.
Have it in an afternoon, man.
Yeah.
You have like a Venmo account with $2 million in it, and then you go to sleep and you wake up and you're like the biggest fucking villain in the history of the world. And then an afternoon later, no one remembers. It's a very weird thing to witness in society, I think.
And people aren't actually offended either. That's the thing that annoys me.
They're being offended because they don't want to be viewed as someone who's not offended almost. You know what I'm saying, right? You don't want to come off as insensitive, so you act offended. Mm-hmm.
Back to Big Brother, how about when Julie asked Nick about what was going on with the two ladies?
Now that's good. Like, that's what they should do.
Yeah.
That's what I was waiting for.
Talk about
all
being
night.
A piece of shit.
Yeah.
When can we just get back to some good old adultery and fun? Hey, like, and why isn't he an asshole to women?
And
he fucking played with one's heart and then went to another one.
I feel really bad for Bella.
Like, well, yeah,
I did
but.
Too. And she was like, all I said was don't make an asshole.
So now, guys, so now he's a bad dude because he did that? No, he's having the summer of Nick.
And
having,
no one's given Kat grief.
No. They all threw around the world, I love you way too much, telling everybody each other they love you. Maybe the generation needs to tone down the I love yous, maybe make it mean something first.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They just throw it out like it's a.
I love you, Chalmers.
I love you too, man.
Thank you.
Even though I'm not Chalmers, but
you got a Venmo account.
So back to anyways, like the Mickey thing. I'm with you. Like, I just wanted to like play both sides and be like, Mickey did do some things that could be viewed as this. But on the stuff that they're really trying to hang on to, I don't agree with. And I just feel like they stole a guy's thunder who fucking willed his way to win Big Brother.
I think he's one of the top 10 Big Brother players ever.
Yeah. I don't like him. I respect him.
Yeah.
I think Nick might be one of the top 10 Big Brother players ever. From, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
He looks like such a goof.
Yeah. Hey. But he made it happen.
An air horn.
That's a Jamaican air horn I've been asking for. I love that thing. That sounded good, too.
That's
perfect
the
amount of pee pee pews.
Can we call this one that's the Jamaican air horn I've been looking for?
I thought we were going to call it something because of Eric Greiba when we talked to an NHL.
Oh, you're rem check. Jesus Christ. That's fine.
I didn't hear anything good in that whole interview, to be honest with you.
we're running out of time here. Did everyone get their Big Brother takes out?
Yeah, I think I probably will be in trouble with mine, but I don't know.
We went down, like, we lived up to our podcast name this week with real life. We cut into some real life issues.
Yeah, 100%.
I feel like this was productive.
Mm-hmm.
But the Oilers season starts tomorrow, and I'm more excited for that than I am about anything.
Oh, I can't wait.
Can I just interrupt everybody talking for one second. One of my favorite things about this podcast emerging is how much Yaremchuk hates the podcast.
Yeah, he absolutely despises it.
That he's like, Yaremchuk, you listen to the podcast? Fuck no. This is the worst podcast ever. But I'm contractually obligated to sit here, record it, promote it on social media, and edit it. And I hate this podcast.
If we do live feeds of it, we just have to have a Yaremchuk.
Is Yaremchuk's
the amount he rolls his eyes and drops his hand with the mic when we start talking about something he doesn't
want. It's one of my favorite parts of being down here.
Yaremchuk and disgusting. Yaremchuk and I were talking about getting the video set up. So once we get educated on how we can run all the equipment, which we're getting a tutorial on Thursday.
Nice.
We're going to get it set up and we'll figure out how to block the government faces and make sure Yaremchuk is visible and Chalmers and everyone can see Chalmers and I go at it on Chumgate 2.0.
No, because if we talk about it again, he might literally quit.
No, but we'll...
No, he won't quit.
Chalmers. This will be the last controversy.
He'll sit here for 800 episodes hating all 800. We'll be like, this is pretty good. Yaremchuk really hates us.
Do I hate it or am I... I like to think I'm good at playing the character I need to play.
Oh!
I think
everything is wrestling type of vibe. Like,
shit.
You know, when I'm on the lowdown, I know how to crank up the young kid who knows nothing about history type of thing. And here, I like being a grouch. It is a natural role for me to play, but I like
it. I do like the grouch role.
Well, Yaremchuk keeps sliding us reports every month showing our downloads going up, so something's working.
Yeah.
That's good.
We've gone from 12 to 13. I think we acquired our 13th listener.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Strong Arm Sal, my boy on Twitter, who
lived you off, Jay. Oh, yeah. I love
him. I guarantee you he's listening.
I like that guy.
I shouted him out. I'm saying, dude, man, you listen to both shows, so respect.
Yeah. And I respect the fact that he like takes the time to A, listen, and B, tell us off.
I was not being flippant with what I said to him. I seriously love that guy. He was fucking hilarious.
I've talked to him before. Respect the fact you hate us. I don't care.
I also agree that I'm the worst on all podcasts.
That was the best part, is he just went scorched earth after everyone. You're the worst. He told me I'm no Lieutenant Eric. I was like, that doesn't even make sense. He has nothing to do with this.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Shout out to Sal.
Yeah, big shout out to Sal. Also, big shout out to Eric Greiba, who gave us a Mary Brown's pop-in. Before we go, though, can you give me one hot Oilers prediction? But you can't just be like, they're going to make the playoffs or they're going to win the cup. It's got to be something different than that. I need like a red-hot Oilers prediction in the year. On Oilers Nation Radio, I said Zach Kassian scoring 30 goals, and fuck it, I'm standing by it.
And you got roasted.
I don't give a shit.
Okay, here, I'll
start. The progression is there. If you look at math and trends, the math suggests... You will get 30.
His goal scoring is exponential.
Someone tweeted me with a bunch of math and was like, the most you could have said is 25. And I was like, well, the most I did say was 30. So
Shit. So if you drop a hot take of 30 and he scores 25, you're a fucking idiot. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I'll go ahead and start that. My prediction is I am going to be shit-faced drunk at the Nation season launch party October 12th. Tickets are now on sale at nationgear.ca.
That's an obvious prediction.
I like it.
Chalmers looking on his phone. Clearly didn't listen to what Bagley just said.
Yeah, he said he's going to be hammered at the launch part.
Chalmers right now is Googling hot take.
No, I have mine. I have mine. I'm just looking for an exact Stat.
The other thing that's entertaining me about this podcast is how little anyone is fucking paying attention. Chalmers, like, you're difficult to talk to in real life because you're very busy. Do a podcast. Can't even get
I heard
attention.
What he said. He's going to get drunk at a bar like when a game is on or something.
Doing fucking emails to about stuff during the podcast. Bag Milk hasn't looked up from is the screen still, once okay. the entire
I,
time.
I came in with my Oilers mug
Here's
and
my
a
known
piece of paper that says Green Day is the league tone deaf.
Does he still eat beats?
Oh, yeah.
Does,
Sponsored now.
Does Dan,
yeah, he's
does
a
Nation pit, Dan
he's a professional
still,
beat eater.
Oh, wow. Does Nation Dan still do the shorts thing and the running thing?
No.
We had to put a guy on
that. Alberta Health and Safety came in.
Really?
No.
Oh. No. Okay. Do you want me to go?
Yeah. No, go ahead. It's this podcast.
Okay. I think my bold prediction is that Mike Smith will play 80% of the games this year.
Fuck,
I think
man,
he will
be
get
a Mike Smith hot take. You oh, fucker. Now I got to go.
They said, Holland said that the goalies, Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen, will sort it out by how they play, with one playing 45 or 50 and the other playing 35 or 45. If the two guys, we can go to different guys, or we got two guys, we can go to different guys. I don't think they're going to have to. I think he's going to take the job in the first month.
Chalmers, I swear, if you just quoted an Edmonton Journal article on an Oilers Nation podcast, I'm going to fucking lose it.
Yeah. I didn't.
Yeah.
Rightfully so, your M. Chuck.
I ain't got no dog in this fight.
Jay? Wanye?
Wow.
I wow. think
maybe so, we won't get
I collect,
the fifth,
I collect
Mike.
The same amount of money from both companies.
I think my hot take is that both Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl will have better stats than last year.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, I think
they're both going to build it. I think Leon could get 60 goals, man.
Oof.
You never know.
Wow.
If he, well,
hey, you never know.
You
never
know.
I'm just like, wow, like 60 is a fucking
gonna say
number.
Leon Draisaitl will score 60 goals, but I'm saying like he has it in him, scoring 50. There were stretches last year where Draisaitl was quiet, and he scored 50 fucking goals. Like, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
If they have a good year and the team does well, we'll see, but I'm going to predict both McDavid and Draisaitl superior performance to last.
What do we? So Yurko is not playing in the home opener because he had a medical procedure. What was it?
Had a testicle added.
Absolutely,
he's rocking a three-peat.
Three knots is crucial to his success. Jason Gregor said it was a minor procedure, nothing to worry about.
But like
no
but,
details.
But I need. No, we don't know like what body part was being procedured on.
Unfortunately, not.
It's nuts, man.
Fox. So he's only going to play an 81 game season then. Health. That's yeah. He's gonna get 50 points.
That is a hot take.
Fuck yeah.
James Neal gets at least one hat trick in October.
Yeah.
And his smile is so
actually,
bright.
I also want to do a fucking James Neal take because I bought the third jersey James Neal because I fucking believe in the trade so much.
Were we but all like, just?
But do you have a take, or you just want to tell us you got a jersey?
I think James Neal has a better chance of getting 30 goals than Yurko has getting 50 points. So you choose which one is my take.
My other take is 80% of people in Edmonton feel bad for Sam Gagner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough break.
I feel bad, but you know what?
I feel bad,
you
but
just,
it's,
business is business.
I
exactly.
Understand.
You can't keep him on the team if he's not deserving of a spot.
He can get $3.1 million US.
Yeah, he's fine.
His new house in Edmonton, okay. It'll be all right. His new triplet is his third kid.
I don't buy that
kid
shit.
It'll be all right.
Doesn't matter.
Gaetan Haas will be a factor.
He's mad. No, he's mad now.
Moving your family
it's
four times in 5 years? He's not going to be all right.
Putting $14 million in the bank. But I love Sam Gagner. I wish he was fucking captain. I thought he was going to be one time. It's bullshit, but he'll be all right.
Green Day is going to have a number one single because of this NHL deal.
Can you all imagine right. the excitement of the Columbus Blue Jackets / Green Day fans right now? There's three of them.
As long as they get better music on NHL 20, because the stuff on 19 is just like from no-name bands.
NHL 20's out.
Yeah, long as there's better songs. I haven't played it yet, your M. Chuck, so I don't know if there's better songs on it yet. 19
your
has shitty
20
songs.
In 16, so you so far.
When did 20 come out? Is going to win NHL's fastest September. Skater.
Oh, shit.
Okay, Jay is now just hollering random things. I think this is a good spot.
Bitches creaking to a close.
Yurko or Yurcho in Czech is the answer.
All right. I think this is a good spot to wrap things up. Thanks for tuning in to Nation Real Life. Episode 141 is over.
Ethan Bear is not a bear. He is a man.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.